Jesus cried out on the cross just before he died. Father, why have you forsaken me? He went on and said, not your will, but my will be done. And at that, the only reason that ever happened from his heavenly father is because at that moment he was embodiment of all the sin of all of us. Amen? Everything that God rejected. And he went through that and he took it on. And obviously we know the rest of the story. Because he took all the sin and all the wrongdoing of every single human being, every one of us in this place. And because he didn't do anything wrong, he allowed the grace of God to be released to every single person that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? And let me just say something. You have no right to think that you're forsaken of God. Ever. Are you with me? You could be in sin. I'm talking about if you're in relationship with him. I'm talking to Christians at the moment. If you're in relationship with him and you're in sin, what all sin does is separates from our perspective, us from God. We get distracted with sin. It takes us away from God and we stop thinking about him. We start thinking about ourselves. That's what sin is. Amen? That's why God hates it. But from God's perspective, because of the grace of God, you are never forsaken, even in your sin. You're not forsaken. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, grace isn't grace. Because there's nothing you can do to earn it, and there's nothing you can do to reject it. Come on. And I'm sick and tired of the enemy getting into Christians' heads. And their heads coming down and telling them that God's turned his back on you because you just keep blowing it. You keep doing the wrong thing time and time again. Because we process it from our human perspective. True? Oh God, I'm so sorry, I'll never do that again. Oh God, I'm so sorry, I'll never do that again. And we blow it and we blow it and we blow it and we blow it. You don't know God. I can tell you his grace and his mercy is covering you. And what you need to do is to accept his grace and mercy so that you can defeat this area of your life, because you'll never do it by yourself. Condemnation is something the enemy uses to separate us from God. We pull away from God. God, through the grace of God, he will never pull away from you. Amen? So close your eyes for a moment. You're never, ever forsaken. He'll never let you down. Sure, we stuff up, we sin. Sure, we need to say sorry to God. But we need to know that we are always accepted before God, because God will work with us to get through those areas in our life and change. Amen? That's what repentance is. God, I just pray for your grace and your mercy and that revelation that we are always accepted because of the grace of Jesus Christ before God. Amen? Spirit of God. Nor the height nor depth, anything of this world, anything created, nothing created, anything created or anything was created, can nothing, the Word of God says, can separate us from what? The love of God. He's pouring down on you, pouring down on you, pouring down on you. And that love is drawing you into the power and the presence. That love will empower you to live the way you know you should live. Amen? In Jesus' name, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your presence here. And God, I pray, I come against condemnation in the name of Jesus. And I speak your grace and your life over every individual here. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I'm a friend of God. Amen. Who's ready for the word? We've got a woman of wisdom. That's who she is. And she's going to come and share. Give Mona a hand as she comes up right now.
How you doing, church? You good? Hey, what a week this week. That's going to be going down in history, I think, with the loss of Billy Graham. What an amazing man, huh? And I just think about, you know, what's going up in heaven at the moment. Could you imagine it? Gosh, who wouldn't want to be there for that? But not yet, right? He was an amazing man, and just, you know, I mean, gosh, what can you say? You know, what can you say about the guy? And you know what's amazing is that he's still preaching the gospel even after he's passed away. You know, like, it's just unbelievable. People are being touched everywhere. I'm seeing it on social media, and, you know, people are just experiencing, you know, the magnitude of the anointing on that man's life all over again, and his message of the gospel, just amazingly powerful. And you know, there's still so much more left to do, and I think the guy had done enough, don't you think? He'd done enough, and you know, but there's still so much more, and he needed to hand that baton over. And so yeah, awesome. Hey, I'm just going to pray. Is that all right? Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for your house. I thank you, Father God, for your church. And I thank you, Father, for the hearts, Lord God, that you have caught and drawn to yourself, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that the power of your word. And Lord Jesus, I just pray, Father, that as your word goes out, Lord, that it would touch the hearts of every person in this congregation this morning, Lord God. And Father, just to bring revelation and healing, Father God, and hope and encouragement, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, in your name. Amen. It's awesome presence of God in this place. It's so cool. Hey, if you've got your Bibles, please turn with me to Colossians 2, verse 6 to 8. Here Paul speaks in regards to the spiritual fullness of Christ. He says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Verse 8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than of Christ." A few weeks ago, I spoke about being positioned for freedom. And we looked at, you know, how the journey toward freedom requires deliberate and purposed lifestyle. Amen. We talked about how we need to actually be deliberate about finding freedom and positioning ourselves for freedom. We looked at different types of disciplines needed in order to position ourselves for freedom. And most importantly of those disciplines was to study the Word of God and build our relationship with Him. Amen? Learning to sit in the power of His presence, His unconditional love for us must be shaped by the power of His Word. Why? Because His word is truth. Amen? This is where we find true freedom in the Word of God. And the stronger our relationship is with Him, the more empowered we become to overcome and walk in the victory we have in Christ. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. In other words, we must become disciples of Jesus. Amen? So today I just want to look at you know, part of being positioned for freedom is also to be positioned as a disciple, amen? And it's in our, being disciples, discipleshipness, that we find freedom. Is that cool? Jesus called his disciples to follow him, starting with Simon called Peter and his brother John in Matthew 4:18-20. I won't read it all, but in verse 19, Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people, or make you fishers of men." Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says that he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and he could send them to preach. Amen? So we're called to be disciples. Who's a disciple here? Oh, it's not that many actually. I was hoping everyone would raise their hand. Okay, the Greek translation for disciple, or the Greek word that's translated make disciples, is the word mathetio. Any Greek people here? Javon's Greek. Mathetio, which comes from the word mathetes, meaning learner or pupil in ancient Greece. This word typically denoted someone who was an apprentice to a trade like a masonry or shipbuilding. In philosophy, it spoke of someone who had developed a master-student relationship with a teacher. But a discipleship of Christ is someone who has been called first to know Christ, then to follow him, and then to make disciples of others. The disciple is a believer who's learning obediently to follow and serve Jesus as their master. Amen? So we're not just called to know him, we're called to be students of his word. So in our knowing Christ, we are becoming like him, thinking, feeling, and living as he commands. In this personal relationship with him, he calls us to be his disciples. We do this through constant exposure to scripture, commitment to communities of faith, the direct involvement of believers, mature believers in our lives. So there's several aspects to being a disciple. Amen? Matthew 28:18. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. How cool is that? We heard this morning how, that he'll never forsake us. He is with us until the end of all age. Who knows that this is the Great Commission? Yep, this is our Great Commission. We know that according to Acts 2:21, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? But what happens to those that are saved but do not become disciples? Anyone ever thought of that? Does being saved make you a disciple? Something to think about. So when people get saved, I mean, I don't know, I've heard some amazing testimonies of people getting saved and they come to God and they're broken and they're hurt and they're carrying a lot of stuff, yeah? And a lot of them maybe have lost hope and have nothing that is kind of giving them a sense of hope in life. And so they hear the good news of the gospel and it's fantastic and they think, wow. And, they learn about forgiveness and hope and grace and realize, hey, God loves me even though I'm a sinner and he's got a plan for my life. He, And I've got a purpose for being here. And I'm not just, you know, I'm not just made up by my sin. Fantastic news. And I love it. I love seeing someone receive that incredible hope. But you know what? They need to go on and be able to maintain that position that they learn about when they first get saved. Amen? How do they do that? How do they learn to overcome temptations, to walk in authority, to respond to life's challenges and temptations? How do they receive their healing? Sometimes they're healed straight away. Sometimes they're not. How do they learn about their true identity in Christ? What happens to them? Jesus taught his disciples, and therefore us, about who we are, about our identity, about how we should live. He taught the Beatitudes. He taught us about being salt and light. Amen? About the Holy Spirit and what our purpose is and so on and so forth. So once someone has committed themselves to following Jesus and is baptized, we're to help that person to become a student of Jesus. Amen? Because in order for them to continue on in their walk, you know, they need to become disciples and learn. Amen? They need to study the Word of God and learn from others. So a disciple is someone who wholeheartedly follows the life and example of Jesus, who makes his mission their mission, his values their values, and his heart their heart. Amen? You know, I remember when I first got saved, it's a long time ago. I gave my heart to the Lord. Dave was there. He was quite relieved, actually, because we were dating and he was saved and I wasn't. And so he took a bit of a gamble there because I was very worldly and wild. And he asked me out and I thought, wow. Anyhow, cut a long story short, I got saved and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was amazing. It was awesome. And it was something I never, ever dreamt I could experience in my life. And it was awesome. But, you know, the very next day after that happened, I remember being flooded with doubts and just going, did that really happen? Was that really real? Was that just, what was that? Does God really love me? Am I really forgiven? And I was just swarmed. I was swarmed with doubts. Has anyone experienced that? Yeah. And, you know, I could have just concluded in my own mind that, hey, that was a nice, happy, warm, fuzzy feeling. But really, like, my life is just way too serious for this stuff. I got some serious issues. And, you know, this ain't going to fix it. And had I not had the opportunity to get around people and to be discipled, to become a disciple, I may have never continued on in my walk. Amen? You know, how many times do people get saved, but then there's nowhere for them after that? There's no follow-through. There's no opportunity to really learn and, you know, really strengthen their position in God. And I needed to learn that. I needed to learn about what it meant and what to do next. I didn't know what to do next. I had to first shore myself up in the fact that I'd been saved and then work out what comes next. And I had the opportunity to do that, you know, by choosing to position myself as a disciple. I could have walked away, but I chose not to. And, you know, I wrestled when I was first a new Christian. I wrestled. I'd walk into a church and I would wrestle within myself. I'd be like, like this. And I just, you know, it was really hard going. And, you know, for the majority of my walk, I didn't necessarily have people coming up going, hey, I want to disciple you. You can be my disciple. I want to teach you our ways. You know, it didn't necessarily happen. You know, occasionally someone had kind of come into my life, but, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. A lot of the times it can happen, but it didn't necessarily happen for me. And as I went along, there was a choice that I had to make to position myself, amen? To position myself to be a student or a disciple of the Word of God. And I think at the time we did this 12-month New Christians course. 12 months, folks. It's pretty serious back then. And we graduated from that. And it was, you know, it was amazing. And I learned more and more about who I was in God. And I became more and more excited. And I used to love sitting in worship. That was a time when God really ministered to me. And the more I experienced God and the more I got to know who He was, the hungrier I became for Him. And then I began to serve. Which was really cool. And the hunger to learn just it continued. But then I learned about what my gifts were. Who knows, we've all got gifts. We've all been given gifts. And so I learned about those and I wanted to use them up some more. I wanted to use my gifts. And I found out people would pray for me. I'd get prophecies and I realized I actually really loved the gift of prophecy. And I had a real, it used to excite me. So there was a couple of really prophetic people at the time in my world and I used to follow them around. I used to kind of shadow them. Humbling, but hey, who cares, right? And the minute I would see, there was one guy in particular had an amazing gift. The minute I'd see him praying for someone, you know, I would just dart over there and I'd be standing or like, you know, right there listening to what he's saying, watching what he's doing. And I learnt from him, you know, I mean, he wasn't perfect, but God had anointed him, he had a gift, and we could learn from each other, amen. He was a mature person, he was a mature Christian, and he was a leader in our church. And you know, I want to encourage us this morning, if you've got a heart for a particular thing, if there's something that you love or fascinated about, and there's so much in the kingdom of God, amen, you know, get around people. Find out who is gifted in that thing and get around them. You know, if you've got a heart to evangelize, find someone who's got the gift of evangelism. David Pollack has got the gift of evangelism. Follow him around. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. You know, who else? Beth Lancaster. People that are just do it naturally, you know, and they're gifted in that. Follow them around. Get around them, guys. And, you know, I just want to speak to the younger guys particularly. There's so many ways in which we can learn about, you know, our walk with God and mature and grow. And studying the Word is one. And, you know, spending time with God and all of that. But I don't know about you, but I'm a practical person and I'm a visual person. So I like to watch the practical, see the practical being done. Amen? So, you know, obviously from there we progress and we keep going. We never stop learning. We never, ever stop learning. I heard this great message from Robert Ferguson recently. I don't know if you guys know him. And he was saying that we're all just half miracles. We're all half miracles. I thought, what do you mean we're half miracles? And I really found that quite fascinating because he was saying that we're always learning. We're always walking toward the fullness of God, amen. So it doesn't matter where we are, we're always progressing. And I remember I got called into leadership and I was like, oh, okay. And then people started coming to me and going, oh, asking me questions and have, you know, having all these issues. And I was like, whoa, hey, I'm just your friend. Don't come to me with that. I just want to be your friend, okay? If you're disgruntled, I don't want to know about it. I just want to be your friend. And I pulled out. I thought, I'm not doing this leadership thing. I just want to hang out with everyone. And I don't want to be the person people come to. And I remember my pastor came to me at the time and she said, oh, you're a very reluctant leader, aren't you? And I said, oh, I don't want to be a leader. She said, why? I said, because I just want to be like everyone else. I want to be a friend of everybody and everyone to be a friend of mine. And it's not that we don't have friends as leaders, but we do have to step up and we have to take a position of maturity and a position of authority and be an example, amen? I said that to her and then I really felt that Lord convicting me and just going, he said to me, this isn't about you, you know. And I go, huh? He said, this isn't about you. And he said, I've paid a price for your life. I died for you on the cross and I paid a price for your life. Your life belongs to me. And I just went, whoa, that's so true. And so guess what happened? I was obedient and I obeyed. And, you know, church, I just want to, you know, the reason I'm talking about all that is because, you know, sometimes we can get sort of settled and forget that our lives are not our own. They don't belong to us. They've been paid with a price. Amen? Who knows that their life is not their own? Not everyone's hand went up. That's okay. Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. How cool is that? So I wanted to save my life in that I didn't want to put myself out there. I wanted to just, you know, be comfortable and position myself where I wanted to be positioned myself. And yet, had I continued to do that, I would have lost my life. Doesn't necessarily mean I would have died, but I would have lost the life that Jesus had for me. Amen. You're all really quiet, guys. How you doing out there? So for people who train others in the ways of Jesus, they too must be trained in the ways of Jesus. So when we come and we're saved and we become disciples and we learn about, you know, what it means to be a Christian, we eventually then have to turn around and disciple someone else. Why? Because God said so. So the one indispensable requirement for producing godly mature Christians is godly mature Christians. Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim him by instructing and teaching all people with all the wisdom so that they may present every person mature in Christ. Toward this goal I also labor, struggling according to his power and powerfully works in me. That's Paul speaking. So discipleship is dedication to a lifelong process of being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8:29, this commitment leads leads to us doing the very things that we see Jesus and the disciples doing, sharing the good news of the kingdom and creating more disciples. Amen? How are we going? You're really super quiet. Okay. Oh, I won't. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So here Jesus calls his disciples witnesses, exhorting them to share the things they've seen and heard in his presence. And as we make disciples, we can not only share the accounts of what the disciples saw, but also the accounts of our own experience, our testimony. Amen? Each one unique. Your testimony is powerful, and discipleship is powerful, guys. Try and imagine for a minute if discipleship was not a part of our walk. Try and imagine that for a minute, if we didn't have that opportunity, you know, if we just got saved and that was it and we were left on our own. Now, I know I'm harking on this, but it's amazing how often we forget or even how little we use the word disciple or discipleship. Without discipleship, believers live according to the world and don't learn to live like Jesus. Who knows that? Yeah. Because we got to be influenced according to something, right? And whether we're saved or we're not saved, something's got to influence us. And if we don't become disciples and students of the Word of God, something's got to influence us. Without discipleship, believers will be focused on their values, interests, worries, fears, priorities, and lifestyles, instead of being focused on Jesus. Who gets distracted by these things? Anybody? Yeah, it's a few of us. Without discipleship, believers go to church instead of becoming the church. Without discipleship, believers are involved in the mission of Jesus but not committed to the mission of Jesus. So there's a difference between being involved and being committed. Without discipleship, believers cheer from the sidelines instead of being in the game. Ooh. How often do you hear that, you know, when people are cheering their footy team or whatever? I say that to my boys all the time. They get all worked up when their team's losing, and I just go, "You're not even in the game." You know, it's like, "Yay, we're winning. Oh, there's a penalty against us." You know, all this stuff. And they get all passionate and excited and yelling and screaming, whether it's footy or whatever it is. And you just go, you kind of do the, like, "Are you right? Are you right? You're not even in the game. Sorry, honey, I love you." We need to be in the game, guys. We need to be not standing on the sidelines and just tipping our toes in. We need to be in the game. Amen? Without discipleship, believers hear the word of God but don't live it. How many know it's easier to hear the word of God? We get to hear it week in, week out. How many know it's a lot harder to live it? It's certainly very different to live it. Being a disciple helps us to learn how to live the word. Without discipleship, believers follow rules and traditions. True disciples follow Jesus. Amen? Without discipleship, believers become comfortable. True disciples step out of their comfort zone. And without discipleship, believers don't make more disciples. So, church, I just want to challenge us today. Our great commission, according to the word of God, is to make disciples. Amen. Does everyone agree? Passionately? Does everyone agree? Oh, awesome. That means each one of us should either be a disciple or be discipling someone. Is that right? Yeah? And if not, we need to ask ourselves why. Why are we not discipling? If we look around us, it's not hard to find someone who has positioned themselves to be discipled. But are we positioning ourselves to disciple? So we're either one or the other, amen. And at any given time, we should always be a disciple, being discipled by somebody and be discipling somebody at the same time. That's the way God intended it to be. And it's through that process that we learn and we grow and mature. We come into leadership, but even leaders need to come under somebody. Amen? So I want to challenge us today to really be thinking about that and be thinking about, who am I discipling? Am I discipling somebody? Am I sharing my testimony and using the power of my testimony in somebody else's life? Am I helping them to walk the journey of what it means to be a child of God? Am I imparting in them what has been imparted in me? Amen? And, you know, we're part of a great church, guys. I don't need to tell you that, but we really are. And there's so many opportunities through Bay City, through Bible studies and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, I just want to particularly make note that our lifestyle of freedom, which is starting tonight, is all about discipleship. And it's all about freedom. It's all about being positioned for both. And I want to really encourage us, today, that if we're not already to be planning to be part of that, because that's what this whole process is that I've been talking about. And that's a great opportunity for us to either be discipled or to disciple. And I just want to challenge us this morning. I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. And I'm just going to ask everyone a very honest question. And that is, I want to ask you to lift your hand if you're in this house and you're discipling somebody right now. Awesome, we've got a few. Now, this isn't to blame or shame, but this is to inspire and to motivate. Amen. Church, I want us to be really thinking about this and praying about it. And you know, as I mentioned, there are people that go through the process of discipleship and they position themselves and they get around people. But there's a great commission, you know, that we have on our lives, and that is Jesus has asked us to disciple and to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we've got a baptism next week, ironically. And great opportunity for people to be baptized. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible privilege of being children of God, of receiving salvation, of coming to know you and your grace and your mercy. And Lord God, that being given an opportunity, Father God, to live a life that is eternal, that is purposed. And Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that we will never, ever forget the privilege of that, and that we never, ever forget our testimony. And our testimony, you know, the Word of God says that the people of God overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's how powerful it is. And Lord, our testimony can overcome, Father God, the work of the enemy in people's lives, Father. Lord, that need to be set free, Father God. Lord, to be released, Father, from bondage and chains and things that hold them back, and to step into the freedom and the liberty and the grace that you have for them. And Father, as we all contemplate this morning, Father God, the Great Commission and our testimony, the power of our testimony, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just fall on every heart here this morning. That, Father God, you would, by your power and your Spirit, that you would, Lord God, encourage and lead and motivate our hearts, Lord God, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission, to be thinking about what it is that we're doing, whether we need to come under discipleship or whether we need to be discipling somebody. Father God, I just pray that this be our prayer, our heart's prayer this morning, each and every one of us this morning, that we would truly put this before you and allow you to direct us and guide us and just fill us, Lord God, with a sense of excitement, Father God, for what it means, what it all means. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Lord, we just lift up tonight to you, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, for, Lord, just for leading our senior pastor and putting it on his heart, Father God, to create this amazing opportunity for people to find freedom. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for every single person that comes tonight, Lord God. We thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do, Father. We're believing for great things. We're believing to see people get set free, that chains be broken, Father God, in this place, and that people find hope and relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. And just one more thing. If you're here and you've never given your heart to God, just want to give you an opportunity to do that. You know, we've heard about the goodness of God and the love of God and the mercy and the grace of God and the hope that comes with knowing Him. And if you haven't experienced that this morning, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. I just want to pray with you. Just right where you are. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to the Lord, I just ask you to raise your hand. This is your opportunity to declare. This is your opportunity to declare that your love for God and that you believe in Him. And if you're here and you've been away from God, you've given your heart to Him, but you've been away, and you'd like to rededicate your life, I want to ask you to raise your hand as well this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. There's no opportunity like being in the presence of God in a corporate setting like this to declare your desire to know Him. Come on, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm just going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. I thank you, Lord God, that you've taken my sins on the cross. And Lord, I'm going to ask you to into my life this morning. I repent of my sins. I want to be a Christian. I want to walk with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that for the first time, please raise your hand or come and see one of us after the service. Awesome, church. You've been very quiet, and I believe it's because you were listening intently. Bless you guys. See you all tonight.
Come on, give Mona a hand. What a great word. Very timely word, and get a hold of that on a podcast and listen to it. It's a powerful. So we'll see you tonight, 6 p.m. Come and join with us for the kickoff of Lifestyle of Freedom. But God bless you. Have an amazing rest of your Sunday. And be blessed. If you're new or visiting with us, we'd love to see you out there for a cappuccino, a cafe latte, and just to bless you and get to know you. God bless you, church.